Well, welcome everybody to another edition of The Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York City is my co-host and my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. How are you doing today, David?
Hey, we're doing well. We're doing well over here. Looking forward to the end of the pagan Gregorian year.
Right.
Going into the month of Janus, the two-faced guy. Anyway, that's a whole nother can of worms to open up. Yeah. But yeah, for all intent and purposes, looking forward to a new year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the last broadcast of 2023. It's hard to believe that we've come this far. But as we get into the show today, you're going to understand, you know, this is our wrap-up of the week. And you know, really, it's kind of a wrap-up of the year. David, you mentioned that before we got going. You know, this is really the end of the year show. And that's very, very true. And when we started this year, we were talking about how things were going to really start escalating in Israel. And how we might be looking at the beginning of possibly the Gog-Magog War, possibly the destruction of Damascus, as is prophesied in Isaiah 17:1. And guess what? We got Israel being attacked so far on three sides. Now, I know the media doesn't want you to know that. The media is, you know, it's all about Gaza. Nope, it's not. You got Hezbollah, which is operating in the north of Israel. Got some reports on that. It's also being invaded from the east as well by the Houthis. So you're looking at three fronts right now. The Bible says there's going to be four, and for the Gog and Magog war, that they will be attacked from the north, south, east, and west, and that no country, including the United States of America, comes to their rescue, and that they're going to be fighting for themselves, and they're going to think they have no hope until God himself intervenes and takes care of the problem. Okay. Well,
yeah, I mean, now, that's what we read.
Yeah. Now, so we have seen this come to fruition really in 2023. Israel was not under attack in 2022, not under a full scale war. Yeah. They've been attacked since the day they were created in 1945 47, wasn't it?
Yep.
Anyway. 48. Whatever year it was. Okay, they've been under attack since the day they became a country. But I'm talking about a full-scale war. It's been a long time since they had one of them in their 75-year history. So as we go... But
I think part of that is because no one really wanted to mess with Trump, you know, because he wouldn't take the stuff that the current installment is not is taking
right.
So so now they're like, hey, this guy's a clown, let's just go in here because he's not going to do anything.
You can bash Trump all you want to, and I know people got upset because he had some mean tweets. Okay, well, I can handle the mean tweets. I really can. You know, I can handle.
Yeah, I'll take the $1.69 gas and the mean tweets.
Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week and twice on Sundays. You know, I mean, it's just the way, you know. But anyway, that scares people for whatever reason. And actually, I think it's prophetic. You know, I mean, we could get deep into that. We could really go deep into that if we wanted to. I am going to, again, this is the week in review. So I think we need to start with this. This is out of Russia and the Ukraine. Now, before I play this clip, I want to make this clear to people that Russia is a very big country. Shock. Okay, this comes as a shock to a lot of people. But anyway, it's a very big country, and they're very well-armed, and they have a lot of people and a lot of military. And
they're the Scythians, and they were nasty fighters.
Yeah, and now the Ukraine is actually attacking Russia inside Russia. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. Okay, Russia has not come at you with all they got. They have not come at you with all they got. Well, guess what? They're beginning to. Let's listen to this right here.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Stuart Smith. Ukraine says Russia carried out one of its worst ever attacks on the country on Friday, launching a barrage of drones and missiles. Dozens of people have been killed and over 100 injured, according to authorities. Julia Chapman reports.
President Volodymyr Zelensky says Moscow fired 110 missiles, 87 of which were shot down by Ukraine's air defenses. Those figures would make this Russia's largest aerial attack since its invasion of Ukraine. A spokesperson for Ukraine's Air Force says a wave of suicide drones was followed by missile launches from Russia. They took aim at cities including Kyiv, Odessa, Lviv, Kharkiv and Dnipro, leaving several buildings damaged and people trapped under the rubble. Ukrainian officials have been warning that Russia was stockpiling weapons for a major attack.
Yeah, they've been warning them, but they also been telling you that they can take care of those attacks. And it's becoming extremely clear that they can't. And now, another thing that you might want to think about here just for a second, because I don't think Zelensky is, they said that there was 100 and some odd launches, right? And they got like 85 of them down. I'm just generalizing here. Let's say it's 125 attacks and they got 85 of them that shot down. Okay. Now then, I want you to imagine this. Imagine that one of them that they didn't shoot down had a nuclear weapon on it.
Yeah, not the one they missed, right?
Yeah. So how did Ukraine work out in that? Because they don't have a nuclear capacity.
I don't know. But even if they blew it up in the air, this bomb still would have went off.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got fallout and you got all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, in other words, if you live in the Ukraine, get out. Because you're going to lose. The country's going to lose. I have said this. I've said this now for well over a year, and I'm not backing down on it at all. I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. I see press reports coming in from all over the world, and the rest of the world is actually reporting truth, being that the Ukraine is losing, that their counter-offensive in 2023 was an absolute catastrophic failure. They haven't been able to do anything, and they're relying completely on other countries for all of their armaments. And eventually, they're going to ask the world to please send them troops because they're going to run out of people. Russia doesn't have this problem. Russia does not have this problem. They will keep going until they crush the Ukraine. So if you're there, if you're around it, get out because the Ukraine can't win. I'm going to tell you the truth where the lamestream media is going to lie to you and tell you that Ukraine has a possibility of winning. They don't. They simply can't win. That I'm standing behind that, again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association. David, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I know a handful of Ukrainians that are friends over here, and they kind of have a different outlook on it. But I'll tell you my humble yet totally accurate opinion.
Okay.
I think it's all a ruse, and they're just doing this to, you know, to launder money, basically. Let me send a gazillion dollars over there, and somehow it comes back to the powers that be. Mm. And, you know, they know it. They know it's all fake, and they know they don't need the money, and it's just, to me, it's just this game that they're playing in order to collapse everything, because out of chaos comes order. So now they can come in with a plan, and here comes the Antichrist. Hey, I'm going to make peace around the world. Oh, good. Then we have this fighting stop. That's just the Antichrist plan.
Yep. Well, I'm not going to debate that one with you. I think that there's a good forecast for what's coming. I also think that Ukraine is kind of like a staging area for the Gog Magog war, because I believe
they got to build them all up. Right?
Yeah, there's going to be a point coming, in my opinion, and this is personal opinion. Okay, this is something that's protected by the United States Constitution. YouTube. Okay, personal opinion. I believe that when Russia wins, that they're going to turn around and they're going to start back into Russia. And something's going to happen. Let's say Isaiah 17:1, just as a guess, and that Damascus is obliterated, okay, that they cease to be a city. The city of 2 million, that is the oldest city on the face of the earth, ceases to exist in one night. I believe that Israel will be blamed for that, for no matter if they had anything to do with it or not. Personally, I think they will have a lot to do with it. But whether they have anything to do with it or not, they're going to be blamed for it. And I believe that that is the hooks and the jaws that the Bible speaks of in pulling Russia down toward Israel, because Israel is, you know, they've got a like a never-ending supply of oil. Russia can't sell what they got right now, seems like. So anyway, I think it's a setup. You know, I really believe that Ukraine is just a stopgap, whatever you want to call it, maybe a test run. I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know how to. What do you think, David?
I really think they're pawns. Basically, it's a pawn, and it's there to set up exactly what you're talking about. They need to do this. They need to set up chaos and mayhem so they have an excuse to come in. Right now, if they did what they wanted to do now, the whole world would be mad at them. Right. But now, this happened and that happened, Damascus, like in Isaiah, all these things happen, then they have the excuse to come down and pillage. And that's clearly what they're looking for. And I think they're poking Israel, too, to try and get them to attack Damascus.
Which because they may be very successful in making that happen, too.
Yeah. Well, it's written, so it's going to happen.
The destruction of Damascus is, I'm just not sure, and, you know, now, am I missing it in the Bible? Because I don't see where it says that, you know, Israel is brought into this by destroying Damascus, you know, that they're the ones that do it. I know that Isaiah 17:1 says that the city is destroyed, but I don't see it where it says it's Israel that destroys it. Unless now, you know, you've got the Bible scholarship over me there, so you tell me, am I on track, off track, what?
Yeah, I mean, you can imply that. The thing about it, remember, the prophecy is esoteric, and once it happens, we're going to say, oh, it was them that did it,
right?
But clearly, that's an event we're not going to miss.
Right.
Hello. The whole world is going to know.
The whole world is going to know about that one, yeah. They're going to be able to hide
it. So it's not like he actually, God doesn't need to say, oh, this guy's going to come from here and do all that. This is something you're not going to miss. And it's so outrageous that you're going to say, hey, this couldn't be anything else but the hand of God writing this book.
Right.
Because that's impossible to say that long ago and have it happen today.
Amen. Well, Russia is also, I believe, beginning to shore up its allies. Now, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that China is in Russia's corner, that North Korea is in Russia's corner. But how about India? India is a huge country, at least in population. And they're also a nuclear power, along with Pakistan. But India, in my opinion, again, has been playing both sides against the middle here, trying to say, hey, you know, we've got no problem with Israel. We'll still do business with them or whatever. But we also have no problem with Russia, and we'll continue to do business with them. And, you know, that war that's going on between the Ukraine and Russia, we're just taking a pass on that one. You know, we don't want to involve ourselves in it. Russia, on the other hand, is shoring up its allies. Let's listen to this report real quick and give you kind of an idea of what I'm talking about.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at the visit to Moscow this week by India's Foreign Minister, S. Jaishankar. He met Vladimir Putin on Thursday at the Kremlin and confirmed that he has invited the Russian leader to visit New Delhi at some point during the new year. India has tried to strike a neutral stance on Russia's war against Ukraine, despite Western pressure to be more critical of Putin's aggression. But analyst Rajan Menon with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace says the relationship between Delhi and Moscow has a long history.
Well, this is a tried and true and tested relationship. The fact that he's gone back after about a year hiatus is not at all surprising. Russia and India have been joined very closely since, I would say, going back to the 1950s during the Cold War period. Russia was by far the most important arms supplier to India. there was a peace and friendship treaty signed between them in August of 1971. In the post-Cold War period, there's been a change, but the fact that Jaishankar has gone there to shore up and solidify this relationship is not the least bit surprising, nor is anyone in Washington surprised.
But India's large purchases of Russian oil have angered the Biden administration and thrilled President Putin. He told the foreign minister that Russian success hinges on India's direct support economically. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Now, did you hear that? That their success depends on India. Now, to my mind, that is sort of like a blackmail thing. Very discreet, something that most people are not going to pay attention to. But if Russia tells India, look, how you deal with us is what's going to happen with our problem there with the Ukraine. If you don't support us completely, then we might have to do something with you. I mean, that's kind of the underlying message, isn't it? Or am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, I mean, they're pawns. They're like Hamas right now. You know, the Muslim nations don't really care about Hamas. They're like, hey, let's get these clowns to go blow themselves up.
Right.
So we could start a war. And they don't even realize it, you know, and that's a sad part. They're just being used, and all the leaders that want to hide in bunkers and keep themselves safe and their family safe are the ones telling them that they need to go be killed in order to, you know, get into paradise.
Right.
Well, what about you?
You know, yeah.
You know, it's all just a big farce. But I also wanted to, look at, you talked about China. And we always talk about the Antichrist, okay, or the pseudo Christ, the replacement Christ.
Right.
That's what he's like. He's going to come and pretend he's Jesus. All right. Well, if he's pretending he's Jesus, there has to be a false Trinity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there has to be a false Father, a false Son, and a false Holy Spirit. Well, we could see that in Revelation in his 13:4. He said they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? And then we see the false prophet come later and say, hey, you have to take the number and the number of his name. That's the Trinity right there. The dragon, which is Satan, gave power unto the beast, who is also Satan, coming as Antichrist. And then the false prophet, who is also Satan, coming as a false prophet, the same thing as God being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he's trying to mimic it as best he could. But there's always nations that parallel that. Okay, we talk about, you know, we see the leopard, right? The leopard was Greece. We see the bear, you know, and right now, you know, there's some that think the bear is Russia. All right, and then what it was, the parables back then and all the kingdoms leading up to today. And there's a remnant of all those kingdoms that are still around today. Right. So we see these things, but clearly the great red dragon is China.
Mm.
That's their MO.
Yeah.
And they're the biggest nation in the world. They got the most people. So clearly they would be the ones that have this authority to give power to the beast, if you would. And they're doing it now. They're doing it with their surveillance and their social credit score and yada 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 yada, and they just tell people, you're just going to do what we say because that's the way it is, or we'll kill you. And it's kind of dragonish, if you ask me.
Well, I agree with you 100%, you know. And I have always believed, and I've been saying this for about 2 years, that the thing that draws Russia down and all these other countries, because it says that, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. This isn't a political war. It's not, you know, it's not even a religious war, but they're coming for, as the Bible says, come for booty. Have you come to pilfer from us, basically steal from us? And what Israel has underneath its ground there is the largest supply of oil in the world. People say that we've got it here in the United States. I don't think so. I think the biggest pool of oil remaining in the world is underneath Israel. I mean, that's personal opinion, but that, you know, the thing is that.
Well, it says that, actually.
I'm sorry?
It says that.
Okay, so, you know,
the Bible says that Israel will have a bunch of oil under the ground.
Well, now you're saying something there where I don't know if you're messing with me again, because you do that every now and then.
No.
Okay, because I don't see that. Where is that in the Bible where it says it's oil for sure? Because I mean, I'm taking a guess. It is an educated analysis, I guess, that if they've got all the oil that the world needs under Israel, and Russia needs that oil in order to sell the oil to where they can build themselves up, that Russia's going to go get it. You know, that they're just, they don't care about little Israel. They think they can go in there and take them down anytime they want to. And if Israel's got the oil, they're going to go get it.
Okay. Well, check this out. David, you ready for a handful of verses?
I'm ready for it. Go.
All right. Deuteronomy 33:24. More blessed than sons is Asher. May he be favored by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil.
In oil. Okay. Yeah, I missed the in oil. 49:25. That's too.
Well, there's more. Hang on.
Well, hold on. Give me that again. I just got Bible Gateway.
Deuteronomy. Up.
Okay, hold on.
33:24. All right, now this gets even better.
Okay,
that's just kind of an inference. Now Genesis 49:25 says, "From the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings from heavens above and blessings of the deep that lies beneath."
Okay.
And Deuteronomy 33:13, blessed of the Lord be his land, and with the choice things of heaven, with the dew, and from the deep lying beneath. Okay. And in 33:19, there's a lot of stuff underneath Israel, as we talk about. People will call 33:19, they will call peoples to the mountain. There they will offer righteous sacrifice, and they will draw out of the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand.
Well, that's pretty clear.
See?
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 32:12, the Lord alone guided him, Israel, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock.
Well, okay. So,
all right.
Yeah. And,
oil from a flinty rock is exactly that. There's one more.
Go ahead.
Because that's where oil comes from, is from the rock.
Right. Yeah. Right. Fossil fuels.
Isaiah
45:3. Yeah. Maybe,
Isaiah.
It just hit me. Maybe that's why AOC and all them are so intent on getting us away from fossil fuels. Maybe they're playing a part in the actual theology that we're going through right now.
Yeah. And I just to correct your vernacular.
Okay.
They're not fossil fuels. They're oil from the rock, and that's been proven. So Rockefeller wanted to make it scarce. So he said, these are all fossil fuels, to try and make them scarce and say, it's a limited supply.
Okay.
And then if it's a limited supply, he could jack the price and make even more gazillions of dollars. They are not fossil fuels. They're not produced from that. They've proven that the oil fields replenish themselves. Well, how does that happen? Because the oil comes out of the rocks, the flinty rock.
Okay. Well, see, one thing I love about being on these shows with you, David, is I always learn something. That is an education right there. But also, I had never really looked. I've read those verses that you quoted several times, but I never equated it with oil.
Yeah, but it didn't click, right? It's when did they put that in there?
Yeah, never, like you said, never clicked with me, but it has now. And what that does is it just basically serves as, corroboration of what I've been preaching for the last 2 years, that I truly believe that it is oil that is the driving force that brings Russia down in what we know as the Gog Magog War. Them and all of the people that are shown in Ezekiel chapter 38. Okay, mm-hmm. So we get back into Ezekiel 38 again, which talks about the exact countries. And for those of you that live in the Middle East, pick up a Bible, find a copy somewhere online. You can find, go to Bible Gateway, find any version you want, okay? Go to Ezekiel chapter 38, you're going to find the names of countries. You're going to recognize them. They're over in your part of the world. You're going to recognize the old country names as well as you do the new country names. And when you put it together and you put it together with current events, you're going to find out that these countries that have hated each other for centuries are now best friends, and they're allies, and they're ready to go against Israel, just like the Bible said they would. Just like the Bible said they would, okay? So, David, we're getting down here to the end of the first half of the show, and I've got only have like one more report, and it's real important because it deals with Damascus and with Isaiah 17:1 and the coming destruction of the largest, oldest city in the world, Damascus, Syria. Isaiah 17:1 tells us that it becomes desolate, uninhabitable, a ruinous heap overnight. Wow. Well, anyway, I got some information there that says that Israel's getting closer and closer and closer to, you know, taking some real measures against Damascus. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show. David, you got 1 minute, but I want you to talk about your site a little bit, The Hidden Day.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get back to this in the second half. But the hiddenday.com, and in the process, I'm going to be rebuilding that too, so you'll see new and exciting stuff. But you can actually find at Hidden Day on Rumble and on YouTube, and also Substack. You know, we're building out a whole new MO, if you would, little new personality, because the Lord is continually leading and guiding in new directions. We'll be speaking. We talked about hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com.
Right.
And there's a conference coming up in April. We just had a show. We're going to be talking about that. And then, you know, I'll be doing some other conferences, even like here in New York City, we'll be putting on a couple of things. But the ministry is growing. The Lord is really using my voice to, you know, to reach people and bring some common sense. I'm not really a new Christian kind of evangelist guy. I kind of teach some of the deeper things to get the existing Christians and build an apostleship and a discipleship so they can actually be more effective at being a witness and an example to the world.
Right. Well, you were talking about the conference, and we're going to have more information on that coming up in the first show of next week, actually. So we look forward to that. We'll be going into in depth on that. Anyway, we do want you guys to stick around for the second half. We'll be back after a very short break with the second half of The Last Christian. Hang in there with us.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks with the year in review. And the year took a completely unexpected turn on October the 7th with the brazen, coordinated, deadly Hamas assault on Israel that took more than 1,400 lives and resulted in hundreds of people being seized and taken back to Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made an address to the nation in the hours after the biggest crisis his country had faced since the Yom Kippur War half a century earlier.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
In the ensuing weeks, Israel has taken massive military reprisals that have, according to the Gaza Health Authority, killed more than 20,000 people, including 8,000 children. The crisis in the Middle East has posed fresh challenges to U.S. leadership on the world stage. President Biden ended the year accusing Israel of an indiscriminate bombing campaign in Gaza, but resisted pressure to call for a ceasefire and has seen public support for his handling of the crisis diminish. He also presides over a very uncertain situation in Ukraine after Congress failed to pass fresh legislation renewing military assistance to the government in Kyiv. President Volodymyr Zelensky made several visits to Washington during the year and earlier in December urged the resumption of U.S. support.
Ukrainians haven't given up and won't give up. We know what to do, and you can count on Ukraine, and we hope to be able to count on you.
President Vladimir Putin in Russia publicly claims his war aims have not changed, but privately is reported to have indicated he may be willing to negotiate a ceasefire if Kyiv agrees to give up territory, a proposition that President Zelensky has described as insane. U.S. relations with China ended the year on the mend after President Biden met President Xi on the sidelines of the APEC summit in San Francisco. India welcomed world leaders to New Delhi when Prime Minister Narendra Modi hosted the G20 summit, and BRICS, the grouping that brings together Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, announced plans to welcome six more members to the bloc. U.S. President Donald Trump became the first ever occupant of the Oval Office to face criminal indictment. More than 90 separate charges in four jurisdictions, many of them relating to his efforts to subvert the outcome of America's 2020 election. Hollywood writers went on strike for 148 days. Actors also walked off the job. Both groups settled their claims that largely resolved around revenues from streaming services. And in June, five explorers died when the Titan submersible imploded on a journey to view the wreckage of the Titanic in the waters of the North Atlantic. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back for the second half of The Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York City, Mr. David Paxton. David, I want to get back into what you were talking about with your site, and also we can maybe touch on the fact that people might want to mark their calendar for early April. If they're interested in meeting us, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. I've got another news report here that I think is something that we need to talk about that happened this week. And that is an attack that occurred in Syria. Now, remember, Syria is to the north. This isn't the Gaza Strip. Okay, this is to the north of Israel. They have a border with Syria and Lebanon, I believe, right? And then to the south, the border crossing is in Egypt. Okay, well, there's a couple of different things that are happening here. Number one, they've been telling people forever to get out of Gaza, go south, go through the border crossing, Rafah, isn't it? Rafah crossing down in Egypt. And I've got reports that are coming in. You're not hearing this in the mainstream media right now. But again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, I can tell you I get these reports. And Israel is warning Egypt to withdraw their forces from that crossing. Get out of there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a pretty good indicator that Israel intends to do some operations down there. And they don't want Egyptian soldiers to be killed. So I would take that as a really good hint not to even go to Rafah. Go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, if you've waited this long and you had an opportunity to leave and you waited this long, I hope you haven't waited too long. But anyway, this is all gearing up because, again, what Israel has just done is not an attack in Gaza. It is an attack toward the north and in Syria. There was an attack. It killed. Now, get this. And, again, I don't know if you're going to hear this in the mainstream media or not, but this is the truth, okay? The Israelis have killed 11 senior Iranian military officers and also injured a top advisor to Damascus. These are all Iranians. They're not Syrians. They're not Russians. You know, they're not Hamas. They're Iranians. Okay. So Tehran is accusing Israel of killing their senior IRGC commander in Syria this week. And Israel is forcing Hamas money transfer agencies. In other words, they're targeting these people that are doing money. Okay, transferring money left and right, okay? An Israeli airstrike on Damascus Airport had reportedly killed nearly a dozen senior Iranian military officials, which one expert told Fox News would prove Israel's ability to maintain a multifaceted defense of the region. Now, the quote here says, "While there is no independent confirmation of Guard Corps names or ranks, the IRGC has long seen Syria as a critical regional hub to protect power into the eastern Mediterranean and connect its constellation of proxies called the Axis of Resistance. Now, that's according to Binam Ben Talablu, a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He also said it should come as a shock to no one that Guard Corps elite are operating there, especially amid a regional war, which they are directing far away from their own soil. In other words, they're saying Iran is in charge. They're the ones calling the shots. Israel knows that, and Israel just took them out. They took out their leadership, okay? We would do the same thing. Now, any country would do the same thing. But this is all happening now. Remember, the focus of the world's on Gaza. It's not on Hezbollah, but Hezbollah's to the north. They're a lot bigger than Hamas. I'm going to continue to say it until somebody proves me wrong. There's a three-front war going on in Israel right now, and Israel is just up the ante with the hit there in the north. The Iranians are going to have to do something. They're going to have to regroup, put new people in, do whatever they need to do. But I think it's a sign that Isaiah 17 is a lot closer than we think. Your impressions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely it's going to come out of nowhere because, I mean, if you read it, you can see it's like, hey, it's going to be just normal. And then all of a sudden, let's even look it up. Let's just read it.
Okay.
So it says, burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. Whoa. And it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities are RRR. We got to find where RRR is.
Yeah.
And they shall be for their flocks, which lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress shall also cease from Ephraim and the kingdom of Damascus, the remnant of Syria, and the glory of the children of Israel, the Lord of hosts. And the day shall come to pass, the glory of Jacob shall be made, and then the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. So it talks about... basically, it's just going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Without warning. And that's really the thing. So the question becomes, well, why didn't they get out? Because they weren't warned, you know? And that's really the thing here. So it's going to be all this, and they think they're going to be safe, but then all of a sudden, then here comes that destruction for whatever one reason or another.
Yeah.
So that's just interesting.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they know? I mean, if we can surmise that now, why wouldn't they know?
Well, I don't know. Does it specifically say they don't know? And I'm asking that question as an honest question because I'm wondering if it's sort of like what's going on in Gaza right now, where they know what's going on, but they can't get out because the terrorists won't let them out. I mean, could it be something like that, or is it really clear in Scripture that, you know, there's just no warning at all?
Well, I don't think they believe it, and that's really the thing. I mean, if you, if anybody's on social media anywhere, all you see is the Muslims and the Palestinians, even though they're not really Palestinians. Mm-hmm. They're putting up these videos of how they're winning.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The idea is, and sadly, we all know the truth, okay? Mm-hmm. But their own people, they're so brainwashed, and they want to believe that so bad that they believe it. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of lulled into this false sense of security. And that's going to be it. They're not going to leave. They won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I...
Yeah, that's more in line with what I'm thinking, you know, that... They see it's going to happen, or maybe not. You know, not the extent. I'm not saying that they are going to know that the whole city's going to go away overnight. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that they're going to know that there's an imminent attack. Maybe. I mean, I'm just speculating on this one. Okay, because I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But
because he talked. I mean, there's the burden of other places too. There's the burden of Moab.
Yeah.
There's a burden of Egypt. So it talks about each one of them. And let me see, a ruinous heap. Let me see here. Isaiah 10:9. Let's see what that one says. Oh, no, it's Damascus. And, but yeah, I mean, it says basically overnight, this is going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I see it coming, and you know, there's a big part of me that wants to say Israel does it, but
yep.
There's just as big a part of me that says, well, maybe not, but they're going to be blamed for it. You know, I don't know which is true. I mean, I really don't. To my knowledge, the Bible doesn't say that Israel is the one that does this. I don't know. Again, I got to go to you because you're the Bible scholar here.
It doesn't say anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have anybody. That's the real thing.
Yeah, and you know, so that leads you to believe that maybe that's like a misfire. I'm going back about a year here. Okay.
You know what wouldn't surprise me either?
What's that?
If they try and launch their own and it just falls on themselves.
Exactly. You know, that exactly, you know, what, about a year ago, I went into different theories, I guess. And one of those, one theory is that Israel does it. You know, that they, for whatever reason, they find out, let's say, just for the sake of argument, that they find out that there's armaments inside Damascus proper that are like nuclear, you know, that could affect them directly. And they're not going to take any chances with it, and they take care of the problem. They take Damascus off the map, okay? That's one scenario. Another scenario is Iran tries to launch something from their area or their proxy or whatever, and the thing, you know, the missile shoots off, and it doesn't hit Israel. It hits Damascus and takes them out. And then another theory is that they have it in Damascus. They shoot it. It goes up and comes straight down again. That's happened in Gaza a dozen times in the last.
Every time they fight, they do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so that's very possible. And then, of course, the big one that nobody can dispute is God could do it himself. So, you know, you got all these different theories, and not one of them can I say is the one that's going to work, and I can't even say that any one of them is going to happen. It might be something totally else. I mean, I don't know. What's your impression, David?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. But like we said before, the one thing that's crystal clear is it will be destroyed overnight.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Once we see that, then we'll know who did it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But even if they blow themselves up, they're going to blame Israel anyway. So
right. Exactly. I have said that from the beginning, you know, because not, I mean, there may be peace treaties in place between Israel and Egypt. And I mean, there was a bunch done there in the last months of the Trump administration with the accords, Abraham Accords. Okay. And I can't even tell you what countries have peace with Israel right now, supposedly, and which don't. But I can tell you this, none of them really care about Israel.
Yeah, you know, especially us right now.
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares. It's what can Israel give us? What can we get from them? You know, everybody cares about that. But as far as them even being a country or having the right to exist, nobody outside of Israel cares about that. And there's not going to be a tear lost by any of the countries that surround Israel should something really happen to them. We know it won't, but you know, if Israel was to be wiped out or whatever, all the countries that are around them, they wouldn't, I don't even know if they'd report it other than, you know, we're free. You know, Palestine is Palestine now. We don't have to worry about Israel anymore. I don't think anybody, there's not going to be any, you know, they don't care. They really don't care about Israel. So when Israel comes under attack, nobody cares. Go ahead.
They make their goals clear too. They want to wipe them off the face of the planet.
Right.
I mean, how can anybody, you got the United Nations, you got all these people and they talk about all this stuff. They got gay rights. They got, you know, women's rights. They got all these different things, but no one says a word about wiping an entire nation off the planet. They're like, that's
river
fine.
To the sea, from the river to the sea.
Like, it's like, what is wrong with it? Hello.
Well,
so what you said that even about, like, you know, some obscure little tribe that still lives in jungle days, like in Africa, there's tribes that are there that have nothing to do with modern day society. Well, God forbid you go in and say, hey, I want to destroy all of them. Oh, it'd be a big uproar. The whole world would be on your back.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's
just unbelievable.
Basically any issue, you know, mm-hmm. is going to have its proponents and, you know, but when it comes to Israel, nothing counts. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know, they've got more resolutions and sanctions against them from the United Nations than any nation on earth. You know, maybe I missed it, but I don't see a world condemnation of Hamas for attacking Israel combined with sanctions against the terrorists themselves, including warrants for their arrest to go for the world court. Maybe I missed it, but I don't remember seeing anything like that. Do you?
No, I don't see it from anywhere. I'm looking now. There's nothing.
Yeah. So
not even one.
But with Netanyahu, for instance, I know that Turkey said that he needs to be tried for war crimes. And I believe that there's other countries that are saying the same thing as far as the Israeli prime minister, that he's got to be held accountable for war crimes for defending his country. I don't get it, but that's, you know.
Well, it's what are you going to say? You can't.
That's why
it makes
no
sense.
It's
a crazy world.
Yeah,
we're trying to make sense of the devil's reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Well, and, you know, that's, I think, the main thing that we need to take away from this is that, you know, this is the devil's work. And it's becoming more and more clear every day. And, again, my big fear for my country that I love, the United States of America, I love my country. I really do. But if we turn against Israel, I turn against America. I'll make it, I will be.
I don't think it's the country like you're talking about is we the people, right, as opposed to the usurpers in chief that we have right now that are trying to take over our country.
Right.
So I think we should be clear on, listen, we love the we the people of America,
right,
because we come from all backgrounds and all places of the world and come together to live as one. And the problem is they're trying to take that away from us.
Right.
So the corporation that is in power now is the ones that we're not happy with.
Yeah. Well, you know, nowadays you have to have a celebrity voice or something like that. And there's no shortage of village idiots to take up the banner of the evil one. No shortage of them. He'll never run out of idiots. Okay, one of them plays for the Los Angeles Lakers that I love, and I haven't been able to watch the Los Angeles Lakers in years because of the fact they've got a village idiot on their team that's supposed to be the guy. Okay, well, I got no use for him, and I won't spend my money or my TV time watching a village idiot. Okay, and you know, I mean, I'm very, very careful. I never like to mention people's names like LeBron James. I never, you know, I don't like doing that. So I would never do that on the show. Okay, so anyway, what's going to happen is that Isaiah 17:1 is going to happen. Damascus is going to be wiped out. Now, whether or not that happens before or after the rapture, I don't know. But it's because God doesn't tell me in the Bible. He doesn't tell me which happens first, does he, David?
No, he just gives a bunch of burdens. I mean, that whole Isaiah gives lists them out. Isaiah is a big book.
Yes, it is.
Burden of this, burden of this, burden of this, burden of this. But I wanted to head back to oil in Israel, if we could.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, we talked about that oil out of the flinty rock. And, you know, we think we're so wonderful that we're the only ones who know about, you know, crude oil, what they call it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they knew it back then because sometimes it bubbles up. And they've used it. Matter of fact, even Noah says pitch. Well, pitch was like tar. Hello. So the tar came up, you know, the oil came up and it kind of settled and got hard and they made tar. And that's what he pitched the boat with.
Mm-hmm.
Inside and out, by the way, because it was meant to preserve it because that's going to be a proof when they find it again. He says, oh, you don't believe in the flood? Here's the boat.
Yeah, science is already already kind of proven that one. They don't like to admit it, but they've pretty much proved it already. Yeah, that's the reason you don't see it brought up too much anymore. Yeah.
Yep. And you know, it talks about the hidden treasures of the sand, and then the one we didn't get to is Isaiah 45:3. It says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name." So. Mm-hmm. Clearly, if he's going to do that and pull all these verses, I said they're going to pull oil from underneath and treasures of the sand and all these different things, then you're going to expect that the devil's going to try and trick people into thinking that it's him that has it, because he came by with false Christ. You know how many Jesuses there were before Jesus came?
No clue. How many?
Yeah, there was a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and then they got, you know, him. Yeah. And then you got Horus was born of a virgin. And I mean, they got so many stories of how all these pagan gods were all born, and which is why we got December 25th, by the way, because they were all born to bring in after the winter solstice.
Well, it's amazing to me that, you know, all these Bible stories, there's always going to be one that's kind of like it that's in another book. Okay, but the one that's kind of like it is usually either completely fake or it's blown out of proportion. I don't even know how to describe it. Anyway, it's all just garbage.
Yeah. Well, just he has to come, and they say he'll be so close to the gospel that it would deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Right.
Because remember, he's not going to come with horns. And go, oh. He's going to come and pretend he's Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got a lot of cults. But if you're truly elect, you're going to understand that, you know, like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they're like, oh, we believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, not really. Okay, so they have a lot of tenants. They're nice people, and they do all this stuff, so they look really nice, and they're all cleaned up on the outside.
Where is it in Scripture? Where Jesus says, I'm the last one. I'm the last prophet. Where is it?
Oh, he is the last Adam. Okay. We know that.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking that question is because so many say, you know, well, I'm the new prophet, like John Smith, for instance. I'm the new prophet.
Oh, okay. His blood was shed once for all.
Right.
And you know, and the reason Johnny had a problem is because he was in his local church, and his brother died, and he went to the church and said, "Hey, can we pray him out of purgatory?" And they're like, "There's no such thing. He's dead. Yeah. He's in hell. He was an evil guy," mm-hmm. and he didn't like that idea, so he kind of went nuts, trying to follow the idea that somehow his brother is in hell heaven. For eternity, yeah. and it mm-hmm. drove him nuts. He started to make up his own new doctrine, and he came up with all this crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he met, you know, this angel came and gave him this giant golden book that he memorized and lost somehow.
I lost it.
Oh, scripture for the ages. Oh, but I misplaced it. Maybe it's under the couch. Let me look.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that is, you know, when I say, well, you know, well, Moses had to, 10 commandments broken. Yeah, he sure did. And God gave it to him again, didn't he? So
he made another one.
So where's old Smithy stuff? Where's it at? You know, and they're still around.
We're going to see those again.
On top of that, how many times has the Bible been amended with, this is version 2, version 3? You know what I'm saying? There might be,
the Book of Mormon has changed a lot.
Yeah, they had to change it because of polygamy and all that stuff. You know, they had to change it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They clearly says in the Mormon doctrine that you have dark skin because you're cursed, and that's their MO.
Yeah, right. I wonder how that goes over with those communities.
It's only because they don't know the real Jesus. They claim, it's Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No, it's not the Jesus Christ. Okay, it's another one. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormons think that Jesus and Satan were brothers born of God. Oh yeah, he's the son of God. Yeah, they mean, you know, born like an actual son as opposed to God the son, and that they were brothers, and one's a bad brother and one's a good brother, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, we get the whole thing throughout yin and yang, and that's the same idea. Oh, it's good versus evil. No, it's not good versus evil. It's good, and then there's evil that's out there, and God's going to get rid of it. There is no versus. But the main crux of what is who Christ is, he had to be God who became a man, or else he could not pay off your sin debt.
Right.
It's a contract. And God would not be a just legal God if he said, oh, I'll just go ahead and forgive your sins. No, there had to be payment for it. Mm-hmm. That's why he came as the son and said, I will become the man so I can make the payment for you. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously being God, so he's good infinite, so he can pay for the sins of all mankind. So he had to become a man. If you think he didn't become a man and like he's not God or in one thing, your sins aren't paid for. It's as simple as that. So you're going to have to pay for them, as nice as you are. Mm-hmm. Come dress up and smell good and do wonderful things for, you know, 100 years while you're here.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're burning hell.
Right. Yeah. Depart from me. Never knew you. I don't. That's something I don't want to hear. That is something I don't want to hear. No. I will do everything in my power to help someone else who says, oh, I'm not afraid of your God. No, you might not be. Yeah. And there's not any reason for you to be, you know, not any physical reason
right now.
Today for you to be afraid of him. But you're going to die like everybody else. You know, someday you're going to be looking, you know, you're going to be right there and God's going to look at you and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And your next destination is your eternal destination. And it's called hell. And there's no escape from it. And there's no second chances. And you can avoid that by simply telling the Lord, look, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. Father, please forgive me of my sins. I know he rose from the grave after 3 days, just like he said he would. I know he sits at your right hand, and I know that wrath is coming, that thing that they call the tribulation. I know it's coming, and I want no part of it. I don't want to be around for it. Father, please, I've asked for your forgiveness, and I promise to follow you all the remaining years of my life. And if you are that last Christian, if you're that last person to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church, the next face you see is Jesus Christ. And you'll see me and David and everybody else, all Christians, living and dead. We'll meet you in the air. We'll celebrate that moment with you. We'll go to heaven. We'll watch what happens on the earth. And then we'll come back with Jesus. We'll be looking at the butt end of the horses. We won't be seeing them coming at us. We'll be with him. We'll be coming back, and we'll take care of this problem that we call the earth once and for all. Okay, David, we've reached the end of this this edition of Last Christian. And next week we've got a very special presentation in the very first show of the week. I'm not going to give it away. I'm just not. I'm going to tell you people, you need to tune in. You're not going to want to miss this one. I promise you. So be sure that you tune in to the next edition. If you ever want to see one of these things in video form, go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. If you follow us on YouTube, be sure and hit the subscribe button, the like button, do some comments. Help us break through on YouTube and break their analytics that have been holding us down for 2 years. We're big everywhere else except YouTube. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm not saying there's anything funny going on, but there's something funny going on. Okay. So anyway, David, I appreciate you as always. And we do hope that all of you will join us for every episode of Last Christian. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better get it done quick, because everything that needs to be done before the rapture has been done. It is the next thing on the prophetic agenda, and we want you there with us. So until next time, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.